Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one Kepi podcast in all of my lap. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorman, Frizzman.
Thanks. How you been?
Doing good. That's a pretty energetic, full of life entrance for you that you did.
Yeah, I'm excited. I didn't know to expect the theme song or anything this time around. I thought there was going to be a theme song. I'm not disappointed there wasn't, but I thought there would be. So I held out for a second.
Whenever there is, you hate it. And whenever there's not, you miss it. You're a complicated man.
Yeah, I'm very complex. That's what comes with being tough.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But I couldn't get my soundboard to work for some reason, and I didn't feel like restarting my computer. So
okay.
No sounds.
Yeah, so you've been good?
Doing
all right?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Celebrated Cranksgiving. Watched those movies. Watched some tough movies.
Sure.
That's about it. Watched those Mystery Science Theaters.
Yeah, the Turkey Day Marathon.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, that was less tough, probably.
But not as tough, yeah.
Yeah, but still entertaining. How about you? What kind of stuff did you get into?
Did some Cranksgiving stuff. Celebrated in the typical fashion of Thanksgiving, though not as tough. But I got to see old guest of the show, Phil. Remember Phil from years ago?
Oh, I remember Phil. He's a nice fella.
Talked basketball on that episode, and he's still into all that. He's doing well. We had Thanksgiving dinner. He invited a friend of his along. He and his girlfriend had these two guests. His girlfriend had a guest. Phil had another guest in addition to me, who's a poet, I guess. He's a poet to some degree, like he's been published, but he's another teacher. And this guy was unusual to talk to. It was very uncomfortable.
Did he try to rhyme everything?
Almost. Yeah. He was fine before drinks were had, before he started drinking, but after that he was incredulous, just a total asshole. It was bizarre.
Did he refer to himself as an auteur savant?
I wish. At least then I would have known, like, oh, okay, this is just buffoonery. But he was calling me out on my being white most of the time. And this was totally new to me, at least to this degree. Like, I've hung out with friends of different races or skin tones or whatever before. And it gets, it gets called out because white people are everywhere. And they can be obnoxious, and I get it. And this was it became slightly aggressive. It was very weird.
So this guy,
met him one other time before, and this was like,
So this guy was not white then?
No, he was from Korea, South Korea.
I see.
Originally.
So you were like knee deep in one of your anti-Korean rants, and he wasn't having it?
I was like, kimchi sucks. Demilitarized zones are terrible.
Mm-hmm. The Host is a crummy movie.
I don't understand why people think communism is just great. All of that stuff, So that might have set him off.
So this guy was celebrating the fact that white people killed all the Indians, and then he took it upon himself to talk badly about white people at the time.
Okay, let me do you one further. He, and a lot of this I found out, is A, because he gets this way when he drinks, and B, when he drinks like this, he thinks he's being endearing, but there are plenty of times when everybody at the table was like, what the fuck? And it was geared specifically towards me. He went on to say, and I remember like a playwright saying this too, so I was particularly like weirded out by hearing somebody else say this in like in half jest, half truth. I said something like, all right, we'll give you your best shot. He's like, give you your best shot. That's so suburban. I was like, fuck, I've never been called suburban in my entire life. And also, fuck, this is Thanksgiving. Like, you're sitting at a dining room table, basically living out the Norman Rockwell wet dream, and you're calling, like, specifically me suburban. It was bizarre.
Yeah, there's nothing more suburban and white than celebrating Thanksgiving with friends.
Right? And I tried to make that clear to him, although I didn't use, like, that severe of logic because I was just kind of thrown for the moment. But afterwards, we were playing this game. I'm sure you heard of it. It's Cards Against Humanity. Mm-hmm. Another very white person thing to do because all of those cards are fucking racist as hell. Mm-hmm. And not at all towards white people. It's towards other races who aren't white. And yeah, and he's like chiding me for having said like this just offhanded word of encouragement. And he lost that round because I was judging it. And he's like, what the fuck, man? You didn't pick my card? And I'm like, yeah, I told you to do your best. And you're like, oh, how suburban. All right, this one should do. And that got a pretty good response. You had to be there, I guess. But it was super uncomfortable.
I would imagine.
This was like, and believe it or not, like I've had a lot of Thanksgivings with family. And those have all been surprisingly smooth. This Thanksgiving among, like, you know, friends and supposedly new friends was highly uncomfortable. And he did warn me, like, before dinner, he's like, I'm going to be having a few drinks. And I usually become very unlikable when I start drinking. I'm like, well, that's good. But that should also be a cue that you probably shouldn't be drinking.
Yeah. If Dr. Drew were here, he would say that anybody who understands that they become unlikable when they drink should not be drinking, and they should instead be in rehab. Indulging in their alcoholism.
Yeah. And then they were on like that. So it was just like these jabs back and forth. It was super weird, super surreal. Like, I could feel the other three guests getting uncomfortable. Well, the two hosts and the other guests. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm glad that I'm getting riled about this, but this is not fun for anyone, really. And yeah, then the next day we all went to Korean supermarkets and I got some melon soda.
How suburban of you.
All right, yeah. I don't know how to keep using that. I figure if somebody drives by in like a suburban station wagon, or what is it, the SUV that's called a Suburban, I'd be like, how suburban of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all I can take this to. I mean, it's weird. I didn't, again, like, I'd never gotten that direct and severe with it. Like, he would not let shit go. It was strange.
Yeah. To make matters worse, you guys all had tickets to see that ska band Suburban Legends. It's just not going to go well.
Yeah. And then we were watching that early 2000s film, Suburbia.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go over.
Yeah.
We tried to settle on watching Tom Hanks as the Burbs, but that was too suburban, I guess.
Understandable.
Yeah.
That's weird. So,
yeah, it was really strange. And then Tulsa was pretty okay. It was all right.
Were you in, like, Tulsa proper, or were you in the suburbs of Tulsa?
That's the other thing. Like, we were in a suburban home in Tulsa. But I was being suburban, like me with my sack of my clothes and and like the beer and pies that I brought. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'm suburban. I don't know. Have you ever been called suburban or urban or any matter of regional preference?
I don't think so. Well, kind of, yeah. This one time in eighth grade, I moved to Virginia very briefly.
Oh, right.
And I was from Dayton, which Dayton, you know, it's in Ohio and everything, but it's, you know, a sizable city. It was once called the New Seattle.
Yeah.
By Rolling Stone. I mean, there's a lot of people there. Like, they invented the cash register there. Like, it's an actual city. So I moved to Virginia, way out in the middle of nowhere in Virginia. I moved to Williamsburg, which is a part of Virginia where they are collecting a lot of cassette tapes these days.
Yeah, yeah. And people love beards and ironic shit.
Yeah, perhaps blue ribbon everywhere.
Right. And,
So it's like this real tiny town. Like, the only thing that they have there is, like, there's, like, a museum for, like, where a Civil War battle was. And, like, that's literally it. Like, that's, like, kind of where everybody went to hang out and be cool. And the only other thing that kids my age, when I was in eighth grade, did was go roller skating at a church and listen to Collective Soul. It was, like, real way out in the middle of nowhere. I think,
yeah,
like, there was, like, literally, like, 100 kids in my high school, which was, like, eighth grade through 12th grade, which is nuts to me because there's, like, 2,000 kids at my high school in Dayton.
Right.
So, yeah, so when I got there, like, I was in, like, some class, and they're like, so where are you from? And I'm like, oh, I'm from Ohio. And they're like, oh, that's one of those, like, rural places where, like, there's only corn and inbreeding. And I lost my fucking mind because I was in the middle of nowhere. Like, we had to ride the bus. When I lived in Virginia, I had to ride the bus for literally 40 minutes to get to school. I was in the middle of fucking nothing. And these kids were getting all high and mighty about that kind of stuff, which... I don't know. I guess maybe that's like a big misconception about Ohio or whatever, because it happens, I guess, sort of out here in California, too. Like, people will be like, oh, you're from Ohio. It's so different. And I'm like, yeah, it is different because, you know, I know I've said this before, but people here in California take their horses to the supermarket. So, yeah, a little bit of a culture shock. But people always think it's the other way around, where now I'm in the big state of California and not in my rubish little Ohio.
Right. I recall getting asked a couple of times when traveling out of state when I still lived in Ohio and saying, yeah, I'm from Ohio. And they're like, oh, did you grow up on a farm or something? Like, fuck no. And do you like that sassy finger snap? You're like, right, brothers, biznatch.
Mm-hmm. We invented
flight in your two-horse town, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Who invented flight here in your town? What did you guys invent?
Corn cob monocles. Mm-hmm. That's what they got.
Yeah, Williamsburg, what did you invent? A musket fight? Fuck you.
You love your Civil War? You can have it.
Yeah.
But flying then.
Yeah.
Pieces of shit.
Those sons of bitches.
Right. You mentioned going to store on the horse thing. When I was in Austin, Massachusetts, there were riding horses everywhere in the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane.
Particularly in, like, remembering one guy, but I'm also... extrapolating and saying everybody did it, but yeah, mainly just one guy was doing it.
Well, that's a lot of guys. Like, I mean, you can, like, dudes riding horses as their, like, means of conveyance unironically, or like not for like a parade. Like, if you see one, there's like thousands more in your town that are willing to do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. But yeah, that was my regular Thanksgiving. Next year, I'm not even going to bother. It's all out Cranksgiving or nothing.
Yeah, man.
I'm not going to do this juggling two things at once shit.
That's understandable. Thanksgiving is like the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Expendable? It's our most expendable holiday.
I was going to say suburban holiday.
It's also our most suburban holiday. Like, it's...
Let's gather in the dining room for a meal of turkey.
And watch our football.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it is expendable, but not the Expendables. So it can't be as tough as Jason Statham's other movies.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is expendable, and Cranksgiving is the Expendables. That's when you would watch that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Also somewhat acceptable. You're really cutting it close. That was pretty nice to get a bunch of tough lists from other podcat bros and broadcast shows. That was cool. I forgot to mention last week that I was on Logical Contraption last Sunday. I'm pretty sure like everybody who listens to this show listens to that show too, so you probably already knew that, but yeah, just to reiterate, I was on that show. It was great. Those guys are great, and they did a solid by reading their tough lists over the air, and then I got to put it in the episode.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Those guys are nice. They're tough.
You've been on some other tough shows, right?
No,
are you?
I haven't been on anything.
Oh, I thought you were talking with people or in the works to be on other shows.
Well, actually, I'm appearing on Junk Food Dinner as a guest next week.
Right. So
that'll be pretty good. I'm going on the Rotten Rantings in a couple
of
weeks.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Last time I was on there, which I don't know if I ever mentioned on the show, because I think it was right around the time that we had the Podcat Bro luncheon. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Luncheon.
Yeah, so I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but I was on the Rotten Rantings like 3 of their episodes ago. And Katie was all on my case because I dislike all the movies that we talk about on that show whenever I go on that show, which has been a few times. But she only ever brings me on to talk about fucking August Underground and stuff. So what do you want from me? Of course I'm not going to like these August Undergrounds. So I'm going on in a couple of weeks and I get to pick the movie. So it's going to be a joyous time for me where I get to gush about things that I like.
That'd be wild. Do you know when that'll be released, or is that still yet to be recorded?
Yeah, we haven't recorded it yet. It's in a couple of weeks because Katie's getting married.
I know.
Which is
everybody's getting married.
Very suburban of her to do.
Right?
I feel.
How could it be more urban, though? Like, could they roll up in, I don't know, Escalades with sweet rims?
I think
spinners?
That if they, do their vows in a style of poetry, I think that would be very urban, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. If they do slam poetry for their vows, that'd be great. Because nothing looks and sounds more loving than slam poetry. Fucking love you like the moon up in the sky. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not good at making up poetry on the fly, but you've seen slam poetry.
Yeah. Nobody's good at making up poetry on the fly, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, so that'll be cool. That'd be great to look forward to.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do some gross movies. I haven't decided yet, but I'm thinking maybe Clown House.
Oh, man. I heard you guys talk about that in Junk Food Dinner, and that got me upset.
I don't even understand, why they haven't burned all the copies of that movie.
Yeah, anything by, a convicted child molester, probably not A material.
Yeah, especially when the movie in question is, 50% of it is, little kids running around in their underpants.
So uncomfortable.
Such a gross movie.
So bad. That atrocity. What else?
Oh, I don't know yet.
Serbian film, maybe? Or you've already done that. Once is enough, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love the Serbian film. I would love to do it. I think they already did it, though. I don't think they liked that movie.
Okay.
And I think they did it on their show. Have you seen the Serbian movie?
No, I've taken everybody's advice to just stay away from it. Consider myself a hard-ass man, but, it's that suburban part of me that's don't touch it.
yeah, well, I mean, you could love it, and then you could become Serbian fan 666 on the internet.
Suburban fan 666.
Yeah, you should remake it a suburban film.
Oh, and that reminds me, people haven't checked out your remix trailer of The Last American Virgin and the famous electronic, I don't know, is it dubstep theme? What kind of theme is it? What would you call that haunting music for a Serbian film?
I think that would be called dubstep, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it'd be a, people should check that out. It's Last Serbian film, teenager or something?
I think the title of it, it's on YouTube, or if you search on the Junk Food Dinner website, it's probably on there. It's Last Serbian Virgin.
Oh, it's so fucking funny. I watched that thing probably a dozen times. I just, after knowing what I know about the film and seeing this awkward 80s sex comedy, that just, the kid looks so uncomfortable. He's almost at the same level as the protagonist of Serbian film. Again, from what I heard of it, he's just so oh God, my life is all of a sudden terrible.
Yeah, he's such a creep. There's a scene where He's like basically raping this girl, and like he like uses scissors, like he like slowly reaches for scissors to undo her bra.
Yeah, that's fucking creepy.
And then like the whole crux of the movie, and it's a good movie, mind you. I don't want to put it out there that it's not a good movie, but it is a good movie. The Last American Virgin.
Cool.
Like there's a scene, like the whole crux of the movie is about how this guy, he's in love with this girl who's pregnant. So he thinks that if he works hard enough and saves up enough money to get her an abortion, that she'll fall in love with him. It's like the creepiest fucking plot of a movie in the world.
That's, but man, like on paper, that sounds like a really great story.
Right? Yeah.
That sounds like it'd be an awesome story.
Yeah, but the whole thing of it is it's trying to be like this sex comedy. Like it's trying to be Porky's, but it's got like all this heavy ass creepy shit in it.
Shit, yeah. That's way too dark.
Yeah. It's a good movie though. Cool movie.
Yeah. Your rehash trailer makes way more sense now. That looks like it's totally in gear with it.
Yeah, the whole time. Like I was like, man, yeah. This is the most ghoulish movie I ever saw in my life. So I had to give it the ghoulish music because it, you know, when you're watching it, it appears to not have ghoulish tendencies because, you know, like this kid, he's like grabbing the knife slowly to cut this girl's bra off, but it's like playing Walking on Sunshine and like the cars and stuff. So it's like, it feels like happy-go-lucky.
So fucking weird.
Yeah, it's a bizarre
film. It's halfway to like American Psycho or something.
Yeah, it's definitely in that realm.
Have you ever heard the Go-Go's as he pulls the knife out of the carving supply?
Mm-hmm. That's what it's like.
Well, cool. That should be fun. Rotten Rantings then in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, I'll let the kids know when it's out. It'll be a good one.
Right on.
I'll pick movies that I love.
Clown House. Like Clown House, yeah. Oh, anything else besides Clown House? Are you still thinking of others?
I'm still debating, although I'm running out of time. So I should probably pick soon. That way they don't have to watch the movies at the last minute.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still debating. I'm tossing it around.
Mm-hmm.
But
not the Clown House. You're not tossing around the Clown House. You're tossing around ideas.
Yeah.
We have to clarify this now.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's what's going on in the world, I suppose.
Radical.
Pretty suburban stuff going on.
It's awesome. Hey, I guess I should mention we got an email.
Oh, let's read an email.
It's titled Cranksgiving. It's from some old nobody. He's become a favorite of ours, I think. Mm-hmm. Not to speak for Parker here, but I love this person's take on other people's names. And I don't think this will be any different. So let's try it out. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Hi, guys. Hope you had a magnificent Thanksgiving. Thanks for reading my email on your podcast show. Again, podcast show is capitalized. Initial caps, by the way. I like all of the guests you always have on it. It was cranky. Shelby Bulba sounded different. I liked when he was talking about going to the gym and fighting Dwayne Johnson. He has good ideas and he sounded so mad. Have fun this week. Keep in touch. Thanks, some old nobody. That was always write in. God damn, yeah. That's so funny.
I like when this guy writes in because that's our segment that we like to call Shelby Colba Chat.
Yeah. Shelby Colba, Shelby Bulba.
Shelly yeah. Ebola.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. That's our only email, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I like that Shelby Colba.
I'm sad Shelby Colba's great.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't get to party with him more in California.
Yeah, we all are. So yeah, all those Elcon guys were fun to hang out with. And the Mark Fredo.
All those guys. Tremendous podcast bros.
Yeah, yeah. We really need to set aside more podcast bro time. Or not. You know, it's fine. Either way.
Yeah, you hear that, podcast bros? Screw you.
We're flippant.
We're flaky about hanging out. But yeah, emails, speaking
yeah,
of them.
Yeah.
People can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. We will read them and we will discuss them. Talk about whatever you want. You want to talk some shit?
Give us a call.
Give us a call on the email. You want to...
Mystery podcasts. Dog podcasts.
You got.
I like to point out that we had a challenge issue last week from Corey. Salfan666 had mentioned him before, and he was looking for a challenge among listeners for people to vote in to see who they prefer. Let's see. Yeah. He wants people to vote on who they prefer, Corey or Ian. And our one email this week was a guy talking about Shelby Colvin.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, yeah. Ian and Salfan have been fighting on this show. If you've been listening the past month or so, you would know that. And Salfan laid down the law. He says people should let the show know, either, you know, via email, I guess, or maybe on the Facebook page, who wins the title of best emailer, I guess.
Yeah, I was just looking through it again, trying to find exactly what it was, and I couldn't find it off the cuff. So I think it's just who you prefer, and the loser doesn't write emails in.
Ever again in their goddamn life. So yeah, I don't know. I think I don't know if we'll adhere to that ever in your whole life again, because I do like getting emails, and we only get emails from like three people, so I would hate to cut off one of those people.
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be like a 1-1 tie just from Corey voting for himself as the best and Ian voting for himself as the best.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know if we have any listeners who have either of their backs. I would hope so, though. I would hope that you guys have a favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Because indifference and apathy is the devil's handiwork. That's what I always say.
I've never heard you say that before.
I say it all the time.
Okay. That does sound like, yeah, I mean, it does sound like something you would say, but it's ultra poetic.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, suburban.
Yeah, you're like way too suburban to understand the meaning of it. I myself am a poet.
Got it.
And, you know, I'm just here enjoying friends on Thanksgiving, celebrating the Trail of Tears and everything. But you, my friend, are way too suburban with your American life.
Well, thanks for laying it down like that for me. And I was worried. I was just, I was on the cusp of understanding things, but now I know I'll never get it. So I'm going to just get drunk and, you know, continue being white, I guess.
Understandable.
Anyway. So, yeah, people should write in at poolpartyradio@gmail.com.
Indeed. Email us. Ask us questions, and we'll talk about them. Sometimes we don't have things to talk about on the show. We haven't planned anything because we're lazy. So that would help. Maybe you need some advice. You know? You got a relationship problem? Me and Frisbee have both been in relationships, and we know how they work.
Yeah. I have been less successful. Parker, actually, you know, you're successful, but not so much me. So
you're still very
combined
successful.
Knowledge.
You're not with a woman that hits you, and that's a success in my book.
Hey, that's always good.
You're not with somebody who, you know, you come home from a hard day of work, and they're there drunk having sex with eight dudes. You're successful in relationships.
All right, on. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think anything above terrible is a success when it comes to relationships.
I think I just got a new outlook on life and relationships. So yeah, write in. Relationship advice will be a regular Dr. Drew and Adam.
We can do that. I will pretty much, yeah, I'll tell everybody that all their problems resolve back to them being abused as a kid.
Cool. And I'll be snarky and interruptive and basically ask more prying questions about your sex life.
That sounds good.
Yeah, this is a winning combination.
Speaking of which, this weekend in Fresno, which is a town near my town, Adam Carolla is going to be there at a local liquor store signing autographs and stuff. I might go see him because I like him.
I was going to ask if you're going to go see him because you like what?
I like him. I like him a lot. So I think I might. Although I feel like I have to catch up on his podcast. I haven't listened to his podcast in a couple of months because... he's been going on some weird rants lately, but I have loved him most of my life. I think Loveline is probably One of the best things in the world. And certainly one of the best things to listen to, outside of the short-lived Norm MacDonald show and Howard Stern. Loveline is the best thing to listen to, I would say.
Is there a reason he's at a liquor store? Is he promoting a new booze or something? Or is he just going to be at a liquor store because it seems convenient?
He just tweeted that he would be there buying and shopping and stuff, so I'm just going to go and find him.
Fuck yeah. That sounds awesome. Did you ever see his film?
Yeah.
About being a boxer?
Yeah. I own that film. I was going to take it to get signed there.
Sweet.
He actually has a new liquor. He sells liquor now. He sells Mangria.
Okay.
It's like sangria, but more boozy, so it's Mangria. And so he's signing. He's going to be selling that stuff and signing crap. So I like his movie a great deal. Hopefully he'll sign my my copy of the DVD. Although I was thinking about taking my Dr. Drew book for him to sign because I think that would be funny, but I bet there's like five other dudes who think that would be funny too. And
yeah, you should get there early then.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Be like, oh, whoops, sorry.
You're not Dr. Drew.
You should hold the book and the movie. I think if the movie has his face on it and like peer at both of them, like really, really hard, like study both in front of them. Be like, this one. Yeah, this one. And finally put down like the movie or the book. I think that's you.
Yeah, I'll let him choose.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that might be fun. You know, it's happening on my birthday, so maybe I'll get him to kiss me on the lips to celebrate.
That's a good way to celebrate your birthday. Is that a tradition of yours, to get a celebrity to kiss you on the lips?
Yeah, it's only happened like twice, but, you know, I try to do it every year.
Oh, sweet.
So, hopefully this year it'll pan out.
Yeah, hopefully. Hey, I wanted to also mention we have a new review on iTunes.
Hey, nice. Is it from Adam Carolla?
Yeah. You know, you say his name enough times and he writes a review for you.
Yeah, you have to say it into a mirror. It's like the Candyman.
Yep. The title of the review is This. I love that. I love this. It's by Steve Dog. And this was just Monday, actually. His review goes on to say, chuckle points. Make me pot cats, apple whiskery, ahaha, okay, Julian Sands for life. All of that is ragingly misspelled. It's really awesome. So thanks, Steve Dogg. That was a fucking fantastic review.
How many stars did he give us, though?
5 whole stars. Can you believe it?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great news.
That puts us on an average of... Well, we have 50 ratings now. We finally did it. We did it. What do you think?
That's nice. I thought we had 50 before.
Well, someone must have retracted their review.
That's sad.
Yeah, I guess. The numbers kind of look the same, but yeah, we got 50 ratings now.
Nice. Well, we don't need any more because that's a nice round number.
Yeah. We can just quit and go home.
Yeah. Let's start a new podcast.
All right. Thanks for listening to Pool Party Radio. Check out Full Smarty Radio coming up next week.
Mm-hmm. It's our new podcast.
It's done. Yeah, it's in the vein of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. And it's mixed with Garrison Keillor. So this will be a real hit with everybody who listens to this podcast.
I don't understand any of those references.
They're all for old people. Those are all old people things.
Yeah, let's do like a real old people show.
Okay.
We'll get who's somebody that old people really like? Like Matlock? We'll get him to be the producer?
Yeah. Or Paul Harvey, if he's not dead. I don't think he's dead.
I don't know who that guy is either.
He's the one who's like, and now you know the rest of the story.
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, sure. Christopher Walken. But
and now
he's
still
like a young person icon.
Oh.
We need somebody older.
Yeah, we need somebody way older. Like Napoleon.
Yeah, Napoleon's good.
He'd be a good producer. He's pretty old.
Dwight D. Eisenhower. He's good.
Eisenhower, man, he's so dope. He invented highways.
Fuck Eisenhower. Yeah.
Man, what a great fucking dude.
Mm-hmm. Howard Taft. That dude was fat.
He was pretty fat and from Ohio.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ohio, let's get into the lightning round.
Okay, cool.
I have news about Ohio. It's funny that you say fuck.
Why is that?
Because according to this pretty biased and subjective headline, congratulations, Ohio, you are the sweariest state in the union. There's a relatively long blah, blah. This isn't written like a real news story, blah, blah, blah. Either way, some dudes did a report to find out who swears the most. And you know how, like, if you call your phone company, they go, you know, this call may be monitored and recorded for blah, blah, blah. Well, they took all of those calls throughout all the states to find out who cusses the most, and it is Ohio.
That's unscientific. I would have thought Boston would have pretty much split the difference for Massachusetts and made it the most swearing state.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this, you know, because of the way they're doing it, like if people are calling, like, I don't know if it's specifically their phone company or not, because this is not a real news story. This is sort of an opinion piece about the news story. But I should have got the right link. But, I mean, generally when people call stuff like that, like they're angry. So maybe, yeah, I think maybe other places probably swear casually more, it would seem, based on the movies like The Departed that I've seen. But yeah. Maybe Ohio is like the most angry place.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what you can derive from it. And that seems pretty appropriate. I was going to ask if you saw any truth in this from your experience being an Ohioan,
yeah,
like myself.
We do like to cuss.
Yeah, fuck yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's because it's like partly because we're angry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because Ohio's an angry place. It angries up the blood. And yeah. Partly because like Ohio's like sort of like, you know, like in some parts it's like pretty rural and therefore pretty like religious. And I think religious people are way more likely to cuss when they're mad, like more so than casually, because it's like taboo to them, you know? So like, it's like tasting the forbidden fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, just having this conversation with, someone today, and we were talking about favorite curse words. So it's funny that you bring this up. I know we talked about it on this show before, but it's been a while and I was remembering it. But favorite curse word, it's cunt. I love saying the word. I know it's terrible. And every woman I know, well, typically every woman I know hates that word, but the person I was talking to with today is a woman. And we were talking about favorite curse words and everything. It started off with the religious experience, you know? Because I was remembering growing up, and when I first said, God damn it, I was like, oh, God, that felt really great. But I had religious family members, like, who were older, and I was like, I can't say that around them, because it's going to be really awkward and uncomfortable. And I'd rather just make those interactions as smooth as possible. I don't really, you know, doesn't really need to be that weird. But I loved saying it, and it just led to other words. It's like a gateway drug. And then cunt was my favorite. And I had to close the door because she's like, you know, please close it because this is about to get really foul. And she's like, cunt. I love saying the word cunt. And it was so gratifying. It was relieving because I, up until today, like it felt incredibly weird on my part. I mean, I don't think it was, I don't know if sexist is the word. I just like the way it sounds. Like I have no visual image when I say it. Sometimes if I say shit a lot, I might picture like an emoji of poo with a smile on his face, you know, mm-hmm. but no, cunt is just like, no, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's the right length, has the right, like lowering of the vowel, you know, and starts with that hard k and ends with t.
Yeah.
Really can't be beat.
The best curse words have like a hard consonant sound. Sarah Silverman has talked about this a lot. If you have like that hard consonant sound somewhere in there, that's really good for a curse word. It really livens it up and makes it funnier. And yeah, cunt has that.
Yeah, and she said like she experienced the same thing. Like a lot of her friends are totally uncomfortable with that word, but she says it in all the right ways. Like she's like she was, I forget exactly how it was. Anyway, like if you see somebody and you're like, what a stupid cunt. Like that is perfect. That's the gist of what she said. And I totally agree. Like, I would think that's great.
Yeah. So she was saying that the enjoyment of a word is dependent on its connotation. Who would have thought that that would be the way that language was used?
Yeah, right?
I'm being a little sarcastic, of course, towards people who feel that connotation's not important in language. But, yeah, that's a good word. That's a word that my British brethren really enjoy. So that's something I actually respect about them, is that they don't take that word very seriously. And they call their bosses that and stuff, so I think that's kind of cool.
See, yeah, that was my thing. Like, I'm not as hardcore of an Anglophile as I was, but that was one of the things that really attracted me to British shows, was just, like, the liberal use of the word cunt. It's, and they say it with such verve, too, with such life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even the weakest people in any British television shows, if they say that word, they, like, you know, grow 5 inches tall and become nothing to mess with.
That's true.
Do you have a favorite curse word?
I don't know. Maybe. I've never really thought about it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if I, like, monitor, like, I'll go back and, like, listen to an episode of this show, and whichever one I use the most, that's probably my favorite, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'll have to think about it. Maybe I'll let you know next week or something. I gotta consider my curse words.
Asshole's a pretty good one, even though it doesn't really fit the hard sound requirements.
Asshole's pretty good. I like calling people, maybe it's cocksucker. I like calling people cocksuckers.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's a good one, because I used to watch a lot of Deadwood, and Swearingen, he said that a lot, and it got into my blood.
Yeah, I can tell from the way you just said that. It sounds like a disease you have to live with now. It got into my blood.
Yeah.
You say fucking a lot, too.
Yeah.
Fucking this fucking guy. These fucking people. This fucking... Yeah. There might be a fucking count for you.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's a good adjective, I guess. I guess that's what it would be if you're talking about these fucking guys over here.
Yeah. How else am I going to know which guys you're talking about? Yeah. Those guys? Those... unimportant guys, those flaccid gentlemen. No, those fucking guys.
Yeah, these fucking guys over here.
Yeah. Curse words are great. I have a real tough time. Like, I totally get racial slurs, why those are awful. But for curse words, I mean, they're awesome. They're fucking great.
They're pretty good.
And they have this study now. I should probably find a link for it or something instead of just blindly trying to recite it. But it was... cursing actually releases like a very small sort of painkiller, something that's similar to a painkiller.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly why it's that and nothing else, but maybe it has to do with like howls of pain or something like that. And the fact that we say it in those situations might have something to do with it. But I like to think that just, you know, cursing will give you a little bit of Advil in your blood.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's, you know...
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that's been, like, suppressed. Like, oh, you're not allowed to say fuck. You can't say it. So, you know, so when you do, sort of like taking a smoke, you know, taking some cigarette, like, you're not supposed to let smoke and drugs into your lungs. So when it does happen, it feels good. It's probably that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, it could be.
And, yeah, I've also seen studies where people who cuss a lot are more trustworthy and more honest than other people.
I would like to believe that, because I feel like I curse a lot.
Yeah.
And I like those traits. I'd rather be known as very heavy on curse words, but honest, instead of like saccharine and a liar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems about right. I mean, I think people who curse are, I mean, you're being honest with yourself when you do curse. Like, I mean, everybody does it. You know, the worst people, I think, are like people who, you know, oh, I cuss when I'm at home, but in public, it's not right. It's like, why? Says who? Why? Well, why on earth would that not be correct to do? Because, you know, 10 dudes got together wearing powdered wigs a million years ago and said, these are the words people can't say. Get the fuck out of here, timer. We're talking about cunts. No time for you.
Yeah. We don't need... the censor police telling us how to curse or not. I would prefer mm-hmm. not. Like, I love it if it's more available in social situations. And I tend to. And I think some of the most charming things are when people let it slip in interactions where they normally wouldn't have it. I think that's really charming. Like, they let it slip and they catch themselves halfway through and then have to, like, turn it into a different word. But then you knowingly exchange, like, oh, but you were going to say fuck, right? And they're like, yeah, I was. I didn't mean to say it. What fun stuff is this? I was going to say, what fucking shit is this? And you're like, haha, you're a human being just like me. That's charming. and it's great. It breaks down those weird little walls throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun.
Cursing is fucking awesome. I appreciate that Ohio is being recognized for it.
Yeah. I do want to talk more about cunts for a second, if I may.
Yeah, of course.
The first time I ever heard that word was in a porno film. I was in like seventh grade. I found a porno film in my house. And maybe this may all go back to why I feel like connotation is so important in language.
Yeah.
This may be the time when I started enjoying language as a human and got into writing, perhaps. But yeah, like there are these two people and they're like making out and everything, as you might do in a porno movie from the 80s.
Yeah, that's weird. But go on.
And they were talking about like what a cunt was, you know? And like the guy, one of the characters, I forget it was the guy or the girl. I think it was the guy. The guy was like, I forget how they got on the subject, but the guy was like, oh, you know, a cunt is a bitch. You know, that's what a cunt is. Like a cunt is like a shrewy woman. She's a total bitch. And the lady was like, no, a cunt is a beautiful treasure.
That is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I thought
that was really cool.
I thought, A, that was the best line of dialogue. And B, what a beautiful English language we have, that a word could mean two different things depending on what you want them to mean in your brain. And yeah, so I really enjoyed that. I wish I could find what movie that was.
Do you think it was Devil Mrs. Jones?
Oh, no. I've seen that movie 100 times since then. It's okay. Not that.
For some reason, I heard you talk about it once on Junk Food Dinner, so I assume that's the only porno that you saw as a kid.
Still to this day, the only porno I've seen that one.
That you're familiar with.
I'm not
Maybe the stars are, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, once you've seen Devil and Miss Jones 3, you really don't need to see any other porno movies.
Cool.
It might have been a movie called Blazing Mattresses.
Mm.
I think that might have been one. That was one I saw as a kid.
Is that like a parody of Blazing Saddles?
I think just...
Which is weird to do, because that's a parody on Westerns in general.
I think just the title is a parody of that. The rest of the movie was about like a lady who's like a housewife. And then, like, her house gets, like, infested with ghosts. And then, like, a guy, a door-to-door penis pump salesman comes over. And, like, he pumps all their penises and then gets the ghosts to leave. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah. It's not exactly Ghostbusters, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's back when pornography was still an art, though.
That line of dialogue is art. That's a weird rhetorical word you study. In the middle of a porno, it's like let's get real heavy here, though. Kind of has two different meanings, at least two.
Yeah, at the very least.
And for me, it has none. Like, I don't think of any except outside of, like, the British use of it, where you just use it when you're severely pissed off. I use it all the time when I'm driving. Like, that's when I have to get it out because I know people around me get really put off by it, and I prefer to be around people, like, if at all costs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna drive them away by my favorite use of this word that everybody seems to hate. So yeah, I get it all out when I'm in the car. So then, like, yeah, when I'm driving in the highway, everyone's a cunt. It's glamorous. Like, oh, look at this cunt. This fucking cunt's trying to merge. No blinker. What a cunt. Just everything gets commentary. Cuntatory. That's commentary about being a cunt.
Yeah. That's kind of how I use cocksuckers.
Yeah.
Although I don't suggest using cocksucker. I think it's good for pretty much everyday use, aside for when you're Alec Baldwin and you're threatening to fight gay people because they're gay and you call them that. That's not good.
Yeah, again, connotation. As long as it's just like an empty statement of like, I'm just mad. That's all.
Yeah, but if you like, if you're like perfectly calm and then you like look over and see like like a rainbow sticker on somebody's car and then you get mad, that's the wrong kind of using curse words.
Yeah, you have other problems to take care of.
Mm-hmm. Language is the least of your worries.
Right. Yeah, I wish I could have this conversation with everyone just to be like, let me be clear. When I'm saying stuff like cunt or something, it's not, you know, I'm not conjuring up anything. I'm not casting a spell. I'm just really pissed off.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I thought it was funny when like Alec Baldwin was in trouble for saying cocksucker. Cause like everybody was like, oh no, that's like homophobic to say cocksucker. Because like the majority of people on earth who are cocksuckers are ladies. So I thought that was really sexist to say that was a homophobic slur.
That's interesting you think that. I didn't, up until recently, I didn't think that would be too much of a sexist thing. Like, considering how many gay men are there, and, you know, there's at least, like, one less option during sex, right? As opposed to being a woman, having intercourse with a man. So you think there'd be, like, a lot more on that side. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make sense. But yeah, no, I guess I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure.
You're not so sure who the main cocksuckers are?
Yeah. Yeah, I would easily have guessed, like, yeah, it's gotta be women. But that might be sexist, because, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if a lot of women prefer to do that. I'm not sure if a lot of gay men prefer to do that. I don't really know who holds reigning champion of S and the D, as yeah. It were.
Well, either way, it's a moot point because the way that I think Alec Baldwin used it, there would be a space between the word cock and the word sucker. And the mm-hmm. way you use it for fun, there's no space. And that word means absolutely nothing.
Right. On the subject of cunt, though, to make it a bit softer, I heard this other formation of it. Like, if you're talking about someone being smug, as well as being really annoying, you can call them a smut. And I kind of like the sound of that. I hope that gets a, like, you know, a huge pull in our lexicon.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
What a smut. Because that's pretty satisfying. It's not as satisfying. But
yeah, you know, would have to really emphasize the N and the T, I think, to get that funny consonant sound.
Yeah, because it almost sounds like smurf. Like, what a smurf. What a smut.
I don't know, it sounds dirty to me. Like, anytime an S and an M are, like, in a word, it makes it sound dirty, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, moist, that's a dirty word.
That's so gross. And, that is really disgusting.
Yeah, and smut is a dirty mm-hmm. word.
Mm, and yeah.
Moles are dirty. You know, anytime you combine those two into a word. S and M is dirty.
Even smash sounds really weird.
Smash is dirty. That's what the situation would do. He likes to smash chicks.
Or smush.
Smush.
He smushes.
Yeah,
smashes chicks while other people are smushing? Yeah, that sounds way worse.
I think that they use it interchangeably on that show, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't have the closed captioning on.
Well, it's one of the reasons I never go to Smash Burger. Did you ever go to Smash Burger when you were in Dayton?
Yeah, and I went in there and I ordered a hamburger, and then everybody had sex with me.
Sounds all right.
It was well worth the $7.95.
Maybe I passed judgment too soon on Smash Burger. You're like, do you want some smash sauce with your smash fries? That's not even a joke. That's what actually happened when I went there. I'm like, ugh, no. Just give me the regular fries, please.
Yeah.
Don't get your smash on there.
When they hand you the fries, are they like all smashed up and like mushy?
Yeah, they're fucking awful.
That sounds terrible.
They just did the worst job. I saw the kids sitting on them in the back. He's like, this one's for you, guy.
I'm farting all over your french fries, bro.
Yeah.
That would be funny to do, I guess. Fart on somebody's french fries?
Farting on anybody's food. Always funny.
Speaking of which, the number one culprits of farting on people's foods are waitresses. And I have a news story about them.
Okay.
Jesse P.S. from Pod Awful posted this, so credit to him. But this is right up our alley, or at least my alley. But Chili's and Applebee's are going to put tablets, like iPads, on tables. That way, you can just plug in what you want to order and stuff, and you don't have to deal with any stupid waitresses. Or waiters, I guess.
On a scale of super happy to fucking ecstatic, where are you on that spectrum?
Dude, I'm so happy about this.
Oh, it's way lower than I thought.
I'm the most happy about this, I guess.
That's pretty high. Yeah. Yeah, this sounds like totally up your alley.
Yeah, because A, I hate talking to people. I just hate it. Can't stand it.
Right.
And B, I would be, you know, I'm much happier with getting up every 15 minutes to get my own drink than being peer pressured into paying 20% of my bill for somebody else to do it real condescendingly and at their leisure when they're not talking to their friends on their cell phone. So I'm pretty good with this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more of what I was going for. This is going way back, but I remember when we had Jono on the show and you guys were just like up to your waist talking about tips and everything. Mm-hmm. And I had no dog in that fight. It was just interesting to listen to you both be like, fucking waiters who turn a seat around and sit in it like a cool teacher from a sitcom. And try to take your order that way. So what can I get for you guys? It was, I hadn't had too many of those terrible experiences. Although when I first got down to Arkansas, there was plenty of times when I started to agree with you. Like there were, dining experience after dining experience, but I don't do often. It was like once a month or something. And, it was fucking the worst. Like waitresses just kind of forgetting that they had a job. I went to get like some pizzas a couple of months ago with some friends down here, and our waitress just kind of up and forgot that there were 9 people sitting in her section where no one else was. So she had like a group of like a table of 9, and just kind of looked at us from a distance like, huh, that's weird that they're sitting there. I feel like I know all of them. So yeah, this is actually pretty cool news. Although I imagine it's only going to be for like for these popular chains in the near future, but in the not too distant future, we'll probably have more of this Demolition Man. Well, Demolition Man still had waitresses and waiters. Minority Report, Blade Runner. Maybe Blade Runner is what I'm looking for. This Blade Runner style of dining where you just kind of like, you know, you put in exactly what you want on a pad and then you go and somebody just drops it off for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next step. What they need is to have these tablets in tandem with the drones that Amazon.com will start using to drop off packages. So you'll just have like a drone drop your food clumsily onto the table in front of you.
Yeah.
You'll just have like a light board that says enjoy your meal, patron.
That'd be pretty good. And then one day one of the drones will think it's human, and then Harrison Ford will have to go and find them and put them down, but then Ridley Scott won't even understand the source material, and he'll make it so that Harrison Ford was a robot because he didn't understand the symbolism or the underlying story of that entire movie, because Ridley Scott's not good at making movies.
That's interesting. I really like Alien.
Alien's good. HR guy.
Aliens is better, but yeah. Alien is really good.
Yeah. Also, HR Geiger is the guy, and Dan O'Bannon. Like, they're the guys who made Alien good.
Yeah, that's true. Dan O'Bannon is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And also, if you make that same exact movie, but like you have Cookie Monster as the monster, no good. So. Credit to H.R. Geiger on that one. Anywho, but yeah, I'm very excited about this, as I'm not like against tipping by any means, but I'm very much not for tips being mandatory, especially in light of bad service.
Yeah.
I mean, if I get the best service in the world, I'm happy with tipping 200%. But this stuff where people get all mad at you, and then now with the internet, if you don't tip, you get bad service, you don't tip, and people are putting it on the internet and all this, and like putting your address out there like for revenge. Like, get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. That's crazy.
Yeah, and as we're learning now, like, some of those stories get misconstrued or just completely fabricated, which is also shitty, you know? Like, I think it's terrible if somebody doesn't get tipped based on who they are as a person. But then to hear that that entire excuse just might be in that person's own imagination and untrue, that's also fucking stupid.
That is weird. Also, like, if you're like a waiter or a waitress and you go, hey, welcome to Applebee's, I'm homosexual, like, that's not a good thing to do, right?
I don't know anybody. Yeah. These are just standard tips, I guess, from about how to host or be a waiter. I don't know. Like, it, being a host or waiter is a job that I never really had. I didn't work in food service as a waiter. Just as a cook and, like, bar staff. What about you? Did you ever work at, like, a restaurant or anything?
Indeed. I was a waiter for one entire summer.
Oh, no shit. Where were you?
I worked at Waffle House, the third shift at Waffle House, so I got all the best drug dealers and crackheads. It was pretty good. And so qualified more than anybody to say, yeah. I mean, if I was your waiter and I accidentally sneezed in your food and you didn't leave me a tip because of it, well, them's the fucking breaks. I didn't deserve a tip.
That's pretty wild. I did not know that you worked at the Awful Waffle.
Yeah, I was a young man. I think I was like 17 or 18 at the time.
Fuck, dude.
It was a fun time.
Was it that one off of like 70?
Yeah, the one by like Kohl's in between Heber Heights and Vandalia.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the one. So it was a pretty sweet job. I got a lot of quarters, so I got to play video games. And the best part of that job is whenever I would leave, because I had so many quarters and stuff from people leaving tips, I would play the Raisin Toast song on the jukebox like 30 times in a row, and then I would leave.
I don't know of anyone who doesn't do that, because I think we all played Raisin Toast, except mine was actually Meat Lover.
That's a good one.
That was another great one. Raisin Toast, though, is supreme. If you can find it on YouTube or something, because I don't think they have those anymore. Most Waffle Houses have, like, those new age, those Blade Runner jukeboxes.
Those jukeboxes.
With the drones. And yeah. they don't have, like, any of the classic Waffle House songs. They just have, like, new country.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, no more can you torture an entire staff and patronage with that shrill raisins in my toast. Yeah, 30 times in a row.
I think they put out a CD of like all the Raisin Toast, like Waffle House songs, but I think it's like out of print and pretty expensive.
Shoot. Yeah, Meat Lover was pretty great too, because that one was like as much as Raisins in My Toast was a parody of like some doo-wop Shauna song, I forget what it was. Meat Lover was a parody of like that Johnny Cash, I think it was Johnny Cash, it was some song called Big John, where it's like the bass goes, Big John, they called him Big John. And this one, they just go, Meat Lover, it's called the Meat Lover. And that's the only part that actually you can discern and make sense of. So it just sounds like this very, very erotic song.
Yeah. I wish that song would rather have been a parody of Judas Priest's Turbo Lover. I think that's pretty good.
Out of their wheelhouse, I guess. Out of their Waffle House, right?
That's good.
But yeah, this is exciting news. Pads are the future.
Yeah, this is the future. I'm very excited. I would like to regale you, if I may, Mr. Frisbee. It's been a while. So if you've already heard the story, and I think you have, please forgive me. But maybe some listeners haven't heard it. But the story of how I first became disenfranchised with crummy waitstaffs is this time I was at Denny's, and I ordered the appetizer sampler. And it was going to come with mozzarella sticks, french fries, onion rings, some other crap. So the guy came out. And this was when I was very poor, mind you. So every last cent I had to go into feeding me for that week. And one meal would feed me for an entire week at the time. So this guy comes out and he's going to drop off my food there. And he kind of like trips over the carpet a little. And like 3 onion rings of the 6 or 7 that you get in the sampler fell on the ground. And I go, hey, man, these onion rings fell. What's going on here? And he shrugs and he says, those are the breaks. And he just goes back to doing his job.
And I remember that.
I never got those 3 onion rings back. They just sat on the floor like the whole rest of my meal, just looking at me right in my face. So
calling out, Papa, Papa, we were on the plate and then the breaks happened. What happened? Yeah, I know the Denny's you're talking about, the one that was like near UD, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it's just, that place was a shithole. I went there with you and John a couple of times, and particularly with John, like very similar situations would happen. And it was just, awful, awful place to go. And it's one of the first places I remember like an on-duty cop just kind of like hanging around being a security guard. The place, like, that's how safe it was.
yeah they had to have that security guard. And actually, we one time I was hanging out with John and this kid Patrick, who's like this real straight edge like bully of a kid.
Yeah, I remember that kid.
That kid was wild. He was like, yeah. he like put on like he was the toughest guy in the world. Like, he worked security and like he would always like try to beat people up, and like he was always like real, you know, talking about tough stuff and stuff. And then but this one time he got a tattoo of the Misfits logo on his foot and he cried the entire time. So I think that's funny. but yeah, so me, the three of us were at that Waffle House, and we paid the security guard there. Or maybe it was Patrick. He had just gotten off his job as a security guard, maybe. I was very drunk, as we all were at the time. But either way, somehow we ended up outside Denny's, and someone who was a security guard sprayed Jono in the face with mace for fun. So that was pretty good.
I remember we went there. Was it for your birthday or it was your birthday. And Jenny Mac was there. She ended up talking with the manager and getting to bring out this very erotic 2 scoops of ice cream shaped like bosoms with cherries on top. And, you know, it was a very cool looking thing. And there was this only other table next to us that had people at it in those like half booths. And they were pretty nice. They were kind of like, they had some sort of nerdy obsession. I forget what it was, but kind of like, you know, classic nerd obsession stuff. They had their own inside jokes and were like very giggly, but it wasn't offensive. It was just kind of obnoxious. And Jono was trying to like make conversation with them and didn't really go very far. Like, once he tried to talk to him, like, you know, hey, look, let's have a normal conversation. And like, what? We don't know how to do that. And when the ice cream came out and was sat in front of you and Jenny Mac and this general manager, who was very pleased with himself, it was very good looking plate that he had for you. We were all singing happy birthday to you. We don't get past like the first verse. And Jono has his arms up on like the booth of the chair, kind of like Tony Montana in the whirlpool of Scarface. And he just yells across to the other table, sing, you fucks. And they started singing happy birthday. They just snapped to attention. Like, they didn't question it at all. They're just like, happy birthday to you. It was amazing. There was really no threat to it. Like, he had, you know, he had some goofy shirt on, like some, some like really faded 80s hair metal shirt or something. And like the bill of his hat turned way up. Like, there's really no threat. And he was just being nice earlier, but I just love the, sing, you fucks.
That was good stuff.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a fun time.
That was the only good Denny's experience out of the many times I went there.
That's probably true. Yeah. Same for me. I was like very pleased to have that happen too, because I had like literally just gotten back from like spending a week in Florida that week.
Yeah.
And it sucked shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was happy to be eating ice cream and for Jono to be yelling at people.
that's a perfect birthday. That was a perfect birthday back then. Now it's like snuggling with Kepi and the wife in the chair. But yeah.
That's
true. That was awesome. God. I've never let that go.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
But speaking of letting things go, I think we're going to have to let this episode go, Frisbee.
Cool.
We've gone way past the timer. And if we still had a producer, they would be so mad at us.
Yeah, well, fuck it.
I feel the same way.
Cool.
In fact, I might even go so far as to say cunt it, you know?
Cunt it. Cunt it right up its cunt and cunt hole.
Mm-hmm.
So good. What's also so good, we mentioned before, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Send us your emails. Tell us whether you like Soft Fan or Ian better. Or not. You know, just talk to us. If you like Shelly Kolba or something.
Oh, hey.
You can also leave us.
Real quick. Huh? Do you remember that time we had an episode of this podcast called Cunty Nuts?
Yeah. That was probably my favorite, I think. I just loved the wordplay, I guess. I don't know if it's wordplay, but your substitution of a name for a snack from Australia called a knucking futz was cunty nuts.
I think we should get a Kickstarter going and start a company called Cunty Nuts that sells cashews and stuff.
Yeah, extra salty cashews. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with more salt.
Yeah, maybe I'll call this episode Cunty Nuts too. I really like naming episode sequel names now.
That's really good. I like that.
Since we had Cranksgiving 3.
Yeah.
Now Cunty Nuts 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cunty Nuts 2. Celebration of Cunty Nuts. That was a fantastic stinger on that episode.
I didn't know that. I'll have to download that episode and get that stinger and use that stinger again here.
Yeah, you can also download our episodes at poolpartyradio.com. We got our own URL. What do you think about that? Find all the old episodes there, you pieces of shit. Or on iTunes, you can subscribe there and leave us a review, a 5-star one like Steve Dogg did. Make them as great as Steve Dogg's. You can check what's most recent and we'll read it on the air. We love doing that kind of thing. And you can find us on facebook.com/poolpartyradio. You can like us there as well as in real life. Give us some likes and comment, send us some private messages.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start some shit? Send us a message, brother. We're also on Stitcher and the Pod Awful family. You can find us there.
Mm-hmm. Glad Jesse P.S. isn't dead.
Yeah, that's nice. People not dying is always a boon. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh, man, Paul Walker. So sad. R.I.P., bro.
Yeah. He's a Tokyo drifting in heaven now. Mm-hmm.
In heaven, though, they just call it drifting.
Yeah.
Tokyo drifting's pretty suburban, though. I don't care for it.
It's weird. It seems like the most urban of things, but it's actually suburban.
Yeah, you would think because of the name. The name implies urban, but
they're really talking about the Tokyo suburbs.
Yeah, it's the name technically means urban, but the connotation is that it's suburban. It's very weird.
Such a rich, complex language.
Yeah, so I guess that's it, right? We plugged everything?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Nice. So this is Parker for Jason, Razor Man, Frizz Man. Thanks for having cunts.
Waffle House. as I took my first pie. Goodbye for now at Waffle House. We'll always treat you right. Sing it. There are raisins in my toast. Raisin toast. There are raisins in my toast. Raisin toast at Waffle House.
Cunty nuts.